Full Service Radio is proudly supported and hosted by Simplecast, the easiest way for a podcast creator to publish and distribute audio on the internet. For more information, visit simplecast.com.
Full Service Radio.
Hello, welcome to Shift Drink on Full Service Radio, broadcasting live from the Line Hotel in Adams Morgan, Washington, D.C. I'm Matthew Ramsey, Wiley Coyote Burger Life Coach, and definitely allergic to pollen.
I am Eddie Kim, proud DCist, sick but past the infectious stage, and at the moment covered in natural wine. Every week, we share a shift drink and swap war stories from behind the line with chefs, bartenders, bakers, and brewers, and pretty much anyone who touches this all-encompassing industry. This week, we are joined by Nomad Brewer. We'll talk about the terminology. Nomad Brewer.
Brian, an actual Strunke. Brewer. We realize we've been saying we have brewers on all the time.
So we've yet to have a brewer or a baker.
Or a baker.
So now we can knock off brewer.
We're crossing this off.
I don't know if you can knock it off. I don't know if we could technically call me a brewer.
Actually, you don't like calling yourself a brewer.
Yeah. We'll get to that.
And also with us is Shift Drink alum Mike Van Hall.
Hi.
Welcome back.
Yeah. Thank you.
I guess before we dig into it too far, maybe a little weekend recap.
Oh, yeah, let's talk about what's going on.
I think first and foremost, I can't believe Jon Snow died again.
Yeah.
Sorry, spoilers.
There was something about a red dragon flying into him. It was a terrible accident. The FAA will be involved.
But seriously, I don't know. I worked last night. Eddie, you worked last night. I was expecting things to be extremely quiet.
Yeah.
It was the opposite of that.
Wait, what season? Game of Thrones is a season 8 now or something?
Season 8.
And we in the industry have kind of gotten used to the Game of Thrones effect on Sunday nights.
Oh, really?
But now it's reversed itself.
Yeah, it used to be a thing. And last night, maybe it's just the first, I don't know. People were out in storm and they're all saying they were trying to like take advantage of the fact that nobody would be out and go to like their favorite restaurants.
Yeah, the anti Game of Thrones,
and it was reversed. Yeah, reversed.
So a lot of the industry folks were out in force. People trying to avoid the crowd. The crowds tried to come out and end up running headfirst into a crowd.
It was a hot mess. Also,
happy birthday, Adam Birnbach.
Adam Birnbach.
Yesterday was Adam Birnbach's birthday. Happy 39, I believe. He celebrated with a sherry cocktail at my bar, as usual.
Classic. Congratulations to Fred Uku. Recently came out that he's opening up his new spot. St. Vincent, a little outdoor wine situation.
Yeah, St. Vincent. If you've never been to Bacchanal down in New Orleans, this is kind of his tribute to Bacchanal, along with another D.C. local, Peyton Sherwood. They will be opening in the Parkview neighborhood in Northwest DC. Kind of, everything is an up and coming neighborhood these days, but this one definitely is.
Totally the new Bloomingdale.
Yeah. The idea is having a huge backyard, wines less than you typically expect, and just metal buckets full of ice.
Oh, I'm so into it.
Hopefully.
Burger King screwed the fucking racist pooch on this one.
Don't get me started. It's been kind of a iffy weekend or iffy week for race relations when it comes to food. So we have Burger King New Zealand putting out an ad depicting people trying to eat hamburgers with chopsticks, oversized chopsticks, a little bit tone deaf.
Yeah.
And then we have another person up in Brooklyn opening up a Chinese food restaurant that calls itself clean Chinese food, implying that most other Chinese food is dirty. So that has a lot of implications in itself as well.
So just, I don't know, maybe check yourself
before
doing these horrible, horrible things publicly.
And I'll say lastly, congratulations to No Kings Collective for a great art show that they put at the old Martha's Table location on 14th Street. It was a celebration of community art. They had a little bit of a celebrity sighting.
AOC was there.
AOC.
Nate Mann, first show. Congratulations, buddy. That was really cool. Really well done, guys.
So let's jump into the sticky mess that I am wallowing in at the moment, because I am covered in a pet gnat. What pet gnat did we get, Matthew?
So this is out of Chile, I believe. Argentina.
It's in Spanish.
I went more with profile.
Cacique Maravilla. This
Chile. Okay. 100% Muscat of Alexandria. It was explained to me like basically kind of like a sour beer with some kind of mountain herbs.
Totally.
Which
I get. I get like caramel on the nose.
Yeah.
Silvery floral.
Grapefruit, citrus.
Brian, why did you choose? Why were you in the mood for a pet gnat for a shift drink?
I don't know. It's just been my wife and I, it's been our go-to beverage these days. I've really gotten into the whole natty wine thing, because what got me into beer was more like the original lambics and spontaneous beers. So like the funky yeast profiles and fermentation qualities kind of just mesh with my palate.
Did you jump in head first, like how a lot of people jump into natural wines and sour beers, where they just go really far off the deep end and then kind of pull themselves back to something a little bit more neutral?
Well, not necessarily, because like back in the day when I got into beer and such, I was younger and my palate was less developed.
How young?
Early 20s, you know?
Just trying to put yourself out there.
Young teens.
I was young at one point.
And we're also drinking, and this is kind of, I can't really hang out with Mike without having some kind of mezcal.
You always bring the good stuff too. Like.
So, and this is shift drink, so I thought, you know, we're going to drink a little pet gnat and a little shotski on the side. So this is mezcal out of Central Mexico. Salmiana is the agave. This is made by Derumbes. But it's just like jalapeno, blue cheese, kind of like herbal funk.
Blue cheese.
Matthew, I'm proud of you for some of your pronunciations.
Thank you.
Yes, you've been practicing
blue
in the mirror.
Cheese?
No. Yeah, blue cheese. Bleu fromage.
So nat wine and mezcal.
Yeah. Kind of a natural thing.
That's my other go-to, so that's kind of...
Is it really?
Yeah.
Nice.
I've been on a mezcal kick. I find it. It's like, it's interesting out of the beverages. It like has a lot of, like wine. It has like terroir.
Yeah, very much so. Qualities. And I think this is just a good example of how different agave species can be.
What was the one we had last? It was like the pechuga or...
Yeah.
Is that with the chicken?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That was really amazing. I would have never thought it would contribute as much as it did.
Yeah. Right? And still be palatable.
Right.
Do you like raw chicken and agave?
Oh, we got it.
Right on. Well, let's cut to a game we call Two Truths, One Lie.
Two truths, one lie.
Now, Mike, I asked you to ask Brian only about an hour ago to come up with some serious truths and some serious lies. What do you guys got?
I already did mine.
I guess this would be a good time to show off. We've been working on collaboration with Adidas.
Okay.
So these are the... First trials.
All right.
Big on flipping everything upside down.
Okay.
So kind of like.
Oh, they are upside down.
Yeah.
That is very odd.
So
only you can see the Adidas line.
Yeah, exactly.
It's a good trick. We tried it a couple years ago. It seemed to work. So.
Yeah, when we changed the whole logo to like a non-logo, and we printed stickers off, and like sent them to my house, and they all showed up. I'm like, yeah. You know, it's just Futura font, black and white. And then I flipped it upside down, and I'm like, fuck, that Now it looks like a logo. It's just still on your T's on upside down.
And in the future. It bothers people too. Like if I wear my shirt, you know, people are like stare at me.
I think people have a hard time with the word artisanal.
Yeah.
Anyway, so when you flip it upside down, it really fucks with.
Yeah. So it's an effective logo.
Yeah. It's a think piece.
Yeah.
It's everything we do.
Right. Yeah. It compliments it.
Yeah.
Do you find it that easy just to screw with people's minds? All you have to do is just click a button.
Sometimes that's down. All it takes, right? It's being able to see.
You see
right?
Trump on Twitter, dude.
Yeah.
Talk about clicking buttons and
I feel like that takes a lot of his effort to put those tweets out.
A lot of brain power goes into those tweets of his brain power. All right. So Adidas, number one.
I taught Action Bronson to enjoy beer via natural wine.
Ah, okay.
He lived down the hall from me.
No way.
In Brooklyn.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Was this back when he was a musician or when he was...
No digging.
What? It's a legitimate question.
We'll dig in afterwards. We got to take these statements as they are.
Action Bronson used to be a cook, so that's why he has his own cooking show. So
I didn't actually know that.
Mm-hmm.
I just thought he appreciated the fuck out of food.
Fuck, that's delicious.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, number three.
And you want to do the third one?
No,
it's all me.
It's all you.
We're working on opening a place in Seattle.
Okay.
Actually, kind of be a culmination of cocktail, natural wine culture, food, and a brew pub-esque element.
Grey's Anatomy themed.
Grey's Anatomy themed. Yes.
Oh man, that's my dream. That's your dream too. It's a shared dream.
Only the first 15 seasons because that's all I've seen so far.
Okay. Only because we were talking about this before, I know that the Seattle thing is a reality.
Yeah.
Which I'm very excited about.
I can believe the Action Bronson thing.
I can believe the Action Bronson thing.
So the Adidas collaboration.
While not like too far out of the realm, I feel like of what you guys are doing, I think that's the lie.
Sure. You are not collaborating with Adidas.
Yet.
Yes. Yay.
But you're putting yourself out there. It means it's going to happen.
Well, we're clearly...
But when we say these are actually Alexander Wang collaboration. But when I found them in a store in Shoreditch in London, my wife saw the logos upside down. She's like, holy shit, if you and Mike made a collaboration with Adidas, it would look like that.
That's amazing.
So I had to buy them. So.
That's cool. Alexia, can we please get a sound effect for our giant win here? Oh, there it is.
Thank you.
Congrats.
So Adidas would be the one kind of... Adidas over Nike, definitely. And then...
Ooh, I'm a Vans guy, so...
Yeah, you were saying that. I was looking at your shoes like, there's no fucking way. They're not going Vans.
It's a great palette, right? Like it's a flat part. I can do the can.
It makes it easier on you, doesn't it?
But with Adidas, we'd be dipping in the same waters as Kanye.
Oh, you want to jump into Kanye already?
Okay. We can talk about that.
First of all, how did you two kind of meet and begin to collaborate? And while you were living down the hall from Action Bronson?
Yes, no.
It actually was, but it's funny. I told Bronson last week that for the first year that he was my neighbor, I couldn't figure out who he was. Kept running into him in the elevator and stuff. And I'm like, all right, he lives in the penthouse. I live in a studio on the same floor of this building. And I'm like, kept trying to figure out like who this interesting character is that lives down the hall. And then finally, it all snapped. And so
how is Action Bronson as a neighbor?
He's cool. He's really...
A lot of jovial late night bangers.
He has a studio that's outside, so he kind of kicks it there, and then it's nothing crazy.
Yeah.
Did you meet his cohorts as well?
Oh yeah,
the body.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Of course. Man. Big body.
His cohorts are called the body.
One of them.
Big body Bez.
Big body Bez. Yeah.
Awesome.
Yeah. Yeah, we were hanging out with DJ Muggs the other day. At the studio from Cypress Hill.
Fuck yeah.
You have a collaboration with Action Bronson currently called 7000. And that is a sour beer made with Muscat grapes. How did that come about?
Well, that's kind of, yeah, that was the thing when I found out who my neighbor was. I dropped a bunch of beers on him, and I knew from, you know, just what I knew online that he wasn't a beer fan, but really into natural wine. And so was I, and really into weed. So am I.
Yeah.
And, you guys have the same weed.
You don't have to whisper. We are in DC now.
So, that was cool. And I basically dropped him a bunch of beer and said, look, some of my beers blur the lines of, you know, kind of flavor profiles that I think you might be into. And then, we kind of were drinking natural wine and narrowed down some flavor profiles. And I just decided that, you know, to emulate beer into those, into that profile.
Did this was over the course of one night?
No, this is over the course of like.
I was going to ask you, like, what were you listening to at that exact moment? When a ding.
I don't know.
It's like 2 years.
What's that?
It's been like 2 years, right? With like working through these ideas.
Yeah, I mean, we have a second beer coming out in a couple months now. It's a rosé sour. But the first one was, it was about a year in
development. Wow.
In development.
When you're developing something, like how many iterations does it go through? Or do you kind of just tweak it along the way till you get to that point where you're like, this is the thing?
It depends on what it is. Like this, you know, this was something we, you know, I put a lot of extra time and research into because, you know, I'm representing not only myself, but his brand as well. So I wanted him to be comfortable with the final product. Most of the time I only have to please myself and then hopefully the customers.
Right.
I think we did one test batch and then it came out very close to what we wanted. And then I made a couple tweaks and scaled it up and we took it to full production.
Fuck yeah. I mean, it seems to me that collaboration is kind of a huge part of what you do. You can see it in, you know, the relationship that you guys have, you and Mike. You can see it in the fact that you do brew at other places with other breweries. And then in the collaborations, again, with like Action Bronson and all the other things that you do.
Well, Stillwater, that's why I kind of pulled you off of the brewer term. There's brewers that are involved in Stillwater. We have many that we work with. It really is an art collective. It's, you know, me basically gathering up, you know, just playing Pied Piper to a bunch of other creatives and craftsmen and just putting resources together to create products that also have a statement or a concept behind them.
This is art as beer. And you say Pied Piper, but you're not playing a flute, you're DJing.
Sometimes. A lot of times I'm just talking to myself.
But let's go back to that. Like, how did you two actually kind of meet? And
I was introduced to Stillwater by actually John Usselton. Green Hat.
Yeah.
So John gave me my first Stillwater, and it was, I really enjoyed it in a way that I didn't.
Which one was it?
It was a very rare one. I think I've only ever had it three times, but the it was Stateside Saison aged in Chardonnay barrels.
Ooh,
and it was
sexy.
It was a good one.
Even at that point in time, you guys were kind of blending the wine, beer.
Yeah, I it's something I've been into. Yeah, when I was homebrewing, actually, got some attention in like the Samuel Adams homebrew competitions by entering wine grape lambic, quote lambics or wild beers, and this was like in, I don't know, 2004, 2005 or something. So it's always been until sour beers and wild, you know, Brettanomyces, like wild farmhouse ales, that I even got in the beer. Like, I just stumbled upon that. Like growing up in
Coors Light didn't do it for you.
No, I couldn't get into any of that. Not and even I was DJing a lot and playing, mostly touring in Europe, and I still didn't even get in the beer. Like, you know, I would drink a little bit of, like, you know, Czech lagers and stuff, but mostly it was like shitty, like, vodkas and Red Bulls. But it was always acidity that kind of drew my palate. As a kid, I liked sour things. So when I had my first sour beer, it kind of opened up my eyes. And so I've always had, like, a really weird, twisted view on beer.
Does that mean Red Bull and vodka is not going to be an inspired flavor for you guys moving forward?
We might do it.
That would actually be cool.
All the classic hits of your DJ career.
Yeah. Yeah. Red Bull collab could be really cool.
That would be fun. Yeah.
But beer
might have to jump out of an airplane or something.
But beer production kind of had to hit this kind of event horizon where a lot of these different styles of beers were available. A lot of the tools had to be available so you can do the home brewing to do the crazy stuff that you did.
Yeah, I mean, at the same time, when I got into home brewing and making beer, it was because, I don't know, but I tried making a batch and I looked at the composition of, you know, beer creation, and there's a lot of, yeah, there's a lot of creativity you can flex in there, but that at that time, especially, you know, early 2000s, people weren't really breaking the rules a lot. You know, other than like Dogfish Head and stuff like that, was as zany and crazy as things are getting, and they were doing some crazy stuff that's still kind of. So I think that kind of why I saw craft beer as kind of a new palette to work off of. Like, people weren't shaking the foundation of craft beer that much back then. Everybody that was opening up their version of a craft beer brewery was kind of following a template.
And this is after music. It's kind of brewing beer was your next.
Yeah, that, I did basically took the creative concept. Like, Stillwater set up like a record label or in some ways. You know, my distribution partner acts as the record label. The breweries are the production studios, and the brew masters are the producers. And, you know, Mike is our art, you know, visual artist. And
right on.
Yeah, I'm just like weird cult leader or director of.
Cult leader is a great way of putting it. Because you don't want to call yourself a brewer.
Yeah, it's because it would be, to me, it's. It's incorrect, and it degrades brewers, people that are in the brewery every day at 6 a.m. digging out the mash tun and doing that, like, and slaving over that. Like, I very seldom these days do I get that dirty, but it's, you know, it's become a different thing. You know, Stillwater is set up as an art collective first and foremost, and I just want to, I want everybody involved to be doing their best work and to be as happy as possible.
You are the second collective that I love to come out of Baltimore. The first being Animal Collective. Are they Baltimore?
Maryland? Yeah, they're from Baltimore.
But it's kind of funny to have that music concept and the art concept and then coming together to make one thing, but also everybody kind of does their own thing. And
I think that's a good vibe that's come out of Baltimore. It's like there's a lot of art that's come out, and I think because it's a bit of a collective community.
I mean, that's where I first discovered Stillwater was out of Baltimore, and even with your old labels before Mike even got involved.
It's part of the reason I
love it. Which too, reason you what, got involved?
I mean, Lee's stuff was
the amazing. early days. The labels were completely different.
Yeah, I didn't. Yeah, that was the other step. Is like I was drawn to. There was something more going on with the label art. It wasn't just that the beer was good, right?
But there's an interview that says that you miss the old.
I do miss the old.
You miss the old Stillwater.
That's the beauty of it, though, right? Like it's there is there's two eras.
Well, that was even, the emo side.
Yeah, and even I long for that side, right? Like,
well, we should. I mean, this might be a good time to kind of actually fill in how Mike and I started working together. Like, you know, we know how we came to know of one another. But he sent me like a cryptic package to the restaurant I had in Baltimore of Love and Regret, and it sat there for like months, I think. And it finally
unopened.
Yeah. It was like a tube. It was like, I think he said it was like a t-shirt. It was a letter. It was a sticker. One of the hot prints or something. And it was just like a little cryptic message. It's like, hey, this is what I do. I'm into what you do. Hit me up if you dig it or something. You know, it was basically, and I was like, all right, you got my attention. This is kind of, it's cool. And it was the attention, what it was so radically different than what we were currently doing with Stillwater. But there was a lot of extreme attention to detail and minimalism that obviously made it so different than what we were doing, but it intrigued me. And I was like, all right, look, there's just as much thought going into this totally different type of visual stimulation, but without all the extra, without all the extra noise. So I was drawn to it just as much as I was drawn to Lee's art in the beginning. And I found that, you know, we're going into 5 years of Stillwater, and I was growing and changing as a person. I'd moved from Baltimore to Brooklyn, New York, and I was, my art was changing. So
sure.
it was a good time to transition. And I think working with Mike allowed Stillwater to grow into its new existence, and also, I think, you know, create something new at the same time.
Well, I remember this from our last discussion, and just being in awe of how you kind of, Mike, how you kind of just chose to manifest your own destiny in this realm in that regard by just kind of cold calling and sending out this thing that was like, this is me, this is who I am.
I'll say I did
embrace it or not.
I did stumble along the way, and that was one of the first labels we did that he challenged me to do. I found myself trying to emulate what Lee had done, but take my twist on it.
Yeah.
And it didn't work. I mean, and when he rejected it, it was like, oh, I should do my version instead of trying to fit. Because even though I thought I knew Stillwater, like, I still was like, all right, well, it's probably a brand that I should like play to some rules.
Right.
Which was wrong. There's no rules.
Yeah.
We make the rules.
Yeah.
You know? And I learned that on the very first attempt. And I mean, thank God, you know, good time.
Yeah. Exactly.
That was definitely a challenging few months. It was equally challenging for both of us.
Well, because, you're forging a new relationship.
Yeah. That a brand that was so, you know, known for its visual appearance, and I'm like, all right, we're going to change everything. We're changing the formats. We're going to do cans. We're going to do smaller bottles.
Yeah,
and four packs. We're going to change the art. Basically, we're starting over. We basically blew the brand up and
rebuilt it.
Yeah.
We're going to take a quick break right now. I actually want to talk to you when you come back about your next steps. Basically your third iteration of where Stillwater is going. So this is Shift Drink at the Line Hotel. I'm joined by Mike Van Hall, Brian Strumke, and
Matthew Ramsey. We'll be back.
Rock the beat.
All right, thanks for coming back to Shift Drink. Shift Drink on Full Service Radio.
We're pouring more shift drinks.
And pouring more shift, spilling more shift drinks all over the place. I just want to mention that we have a bride in the corner of our eye taking her wedding photos.
She was standing. It was kind of distracting. She was standing behind Brian and Mike previously, yeah. And they didn't realize it, but she's just like standing there with a bouquet.
We were trying to tempt her in with a glass of mezcal, but I don't think she needs any today.
Nah, they look lovely. Mazel tov. You guys like tend to, I mean, your whole kind of foundation, and I mean, just from our previous discussion just before the show started and knowing Mike now, is kind of bending / breaking rules, pushing boundaries. That's kind of hard when you guys are trying to go legit at some point and like continue to move forward. Like, how do you guys kind of keep that mentality and kind of keep things fresh like that?
I think the industry, and it's not that they caught up with us, it's that the beer world has allowed creativity in a way. Everybody always relates it to like album covers. Beer labels, sure, are the new album covers. And that's it's a fine analogy, if only to show that there is a lot of focus on pushing limits and trying new stuff. So, you know, we take advantage of that because that's the way we operate, and this is our canvas, and people seem to be accepting of that.
And flavor wise, you guys continue to do that. I saw a thing about black IPAs, and I know that's not really a term that you like, but
we did one that was ready made before ready made was cool and everywhere.
Yeah,
yeah. That right. Let's talk about ready made for a second.
Yeah,
those are my absolute favorite labels, I think, still to date. And that was a perfect example of Mike and I hitting our creative and artistic stride and coming together like perfectly.
That was a fork. Yeah, that was definitely a fork.
And the rest of the world just
a Gwyneth Paltrow sliding door moment.
Yeah. But those beers just washed over like, what?
Yeah.
Like it was too much. I think I honestly think they would work today. But yeah. I think we were,
was it? It was 2015.
Yeah.
14?
Yeah, it was directly after the contemporary.
Okay.
So it was right when we first started working together. And it was like when we really got our groove, like we synced up on that. And I think Extra Dry came after that.
Oh, really?
Which is still our most successful.
I've said it time and time again. It's one of my favorite beers of all time. It's my most regular shifty. But it's also just an iconic label.
It's a terrible curse.
Yeah. And that was another time.
Set the bar high from out of the get-go.
Synced up. I think Mike turned that label around in like 48 hours.
I had it in 5 minutes in my mind after he sent me it. I already had it. I got it as soon as he texted me about it. Yeah.
Yeah, it was like one of the most effortless creations for Stillwater, for me and him. It just, the rest, you know, the concept recipe just popped out, and then the label came out a day after that. And
but that's the thing, we do have that when there are decidedly still water concepts,
that
it just flows easily. And then I think everybody sees that when they drink the beer and see the label.
Absolutely.
Yeah, we kind of trying to work as a conduit. That's why we don't set up any rules, and we allow ourselves to change our aesthetic, to change our approach, to change everything as it needs to be, because you know, as an art situation, it's all about tapping into the
moment,
the higher power there.
Exactly.
Those kind of collaborative moments are a real thing, and they're magical. I mean, we see that in music a lot. I mean, I think of when Freddie Mercury and David Bowie got together for that drug-fueled night and came out with Under Pressure. One studio session kind of just all flowed out of them. Kanye West with his couple albums ago had that what's that opening track called with the gospel singers and everything, and it just and Chance the Rapper's on, and everybody was just doing it from the soul, and it all came out. It's just this beautiful song.
That's a nice analogy because it makes it.
Yeah,
most people would say, "Oh, it's just beer," you know. But like, we don't treat it like that.
No, so they're real moments that come out of these things. What is your? I mean, what's your day to day collaborative process? How do you guys kind of?
It's just random,
approve or disapprove things and
throw shit at each other and But I mean, at this point, we've refined it enough where we throw the good stuff at each other. Yeah. Although he'll text me with a random idea that maybe we don't touch for a year, but just like to plant the seed, and then I try to just let it gestate. Because
sometimes it's like I'm not coming to him with a full concept. I'm like, here's a seed. Yeah. Plant this in your head. We'll talk about it.
Yeah.
Later, like when we need to, but. Just know that let it be born, you know?
But that's also, I think, comes from an understanding of how the two of you work. Like, just saying, hey, like, I know you're probably at home doing something else, but, like, sit on this.
And I'm the slow one. Yeah. Of the two of us, like, I'm the slow one. I'm the reason things aren't as fast as they are.
I'm insane. I have to curb myself from my... So I hired a personal assistant, so like, I throw all the things at him first.
He's my favorite Stillwater member. Yeah.
He's the Brita.
He's Mike's buffer. Yeah.
The creative Brita filter.
Yeah. Would you like to do a shout out to your personal assistant?
He's like, that's sending that to Mike.
Thank you, Alex.
Thank you. And my wife, too. She's my other sounding board. So she actually gets the brunt of it.
Yeah.
But she's kind of been my translator. It's been quite nice. We're coming together as a company. You know?
That's awesome. It's an evolving process. Speaking of Kanye, uh-huh. I only bring this up because I know you're legally allowed to talk about these things.
Oh, you are legally allowed to talk. Okay,
some things.
You got into an interaction with Kanye?
Yeah, we are doing a line of kind of tribute pop culture tribute beers, and I guess we flew too close to the sun with this one.
The sun being Kanye.
So we it was something that we set up. It was, you know, we did a line of beers that were all we basically went through, did like a Kendrick, a Kanye, and a Drake inspired, like, you know, vibed off of, because that was what I was listening to at the time. And sure. It was very,
well, it's also a way to like get to put our beer in front of people that might not have it, you know, like pop music wasn't at that time wasn't craft beer, and yeah, pop music didn't go together, so like,
yeah,
it opened it up a bit.
Yeah, because I kind of feel like the kind of craft beer, like the scene that kind of has spawned from it has become its own niche kind of audience, and I don't know, it's like I've been cool to play in indie bands and be signed to an indie label, but
right,
once in a while when I hit stadium tour, you know?
Yeah.
So
yeah,
I kind of, you know, want the concepts to be taken from, you know, I'm very, very much follow the Warhol kind of philosophy to art, and there's pop art and big art doesn't make it less of art.
Yeah.
I don't know. I think I saw craft beer getting so like so indie and so like and really digging
so
on the
emo
fact that they were indie, and I was like, and that's where we came from, and I was like, it's kind of like I was done with the niche scene. I'm not done with it, but I just wanted to move. Like, I just kind of wanted to, yeah. I mean, art has to grow and to evolve, and I think the bigger stages that we can get, the more fun we can have.
Well, at the end of the day, too, it's about getting your stuff out to people who would enjoy it.
Exactly. It's like, because most of what we're trying to promote is not necessarily just we're not just selling a beverage. Like, we're using this beverage to kind of fuel, fund, and be the medium, the conduit for our creative ideas, our statements that we want to make. You know, we have distribution around the world, so it's kind of like, you know, if we have an idea and a concept and a piece of art, then we have a pipeline that we can send that around the world with. It's still just kind of tied into a scene, craft beer, but I think I would like to see beer just like it's just like a radio station.
Sure.
It's just a way to reach people,
mm-hmm,
and get your idea into their hands and in front of their eyes, into your mouth.
So, I mean, so much of art is intentional, but I think a lot of great art also comes from happy accidents. Have you guys experienced a lot of happy accidents?
I would say, one of my rules of when I'm doing the label, certainly, is to leave gaps in the statement that you fill in yourself. Right? So you tell yourself the rest of the story that I started. And I think happy accidents certainly come from that. Like the way people react to some of these labels, I don't want to tell them what it should mean to them, right? And then because we didn't learn from that, and can morph what Stillwater is. Because now you remember, right? Like you're part of the collective. If you got what we were doing and you told us a little bit of the story that we didn't think about, we get a happy accident and it makes it better. Yeah.
Room for happy accidents. It's always, I guess, the way that we operate. It's like, you don't fully fill the gaps until you allow the little spontaneity to.
Well, it's happen. Part of the conversation, part of it, right? It's not like it's not Coca-Cola or Budweiser dictate to you like America.
Yeah,
we're never trying to tell people anything. If anything, we're just asking a question. Like it's more.
It gets us into trouble sometimes.
Yeah,
but that's part of it.
But I feel you're a glutton for the trouble.
I enjoy it.
Let's move to another little section. We call rapid fire. Time for the payback.
Rapid fire.
Now this is just like a series of questions, kind of. We're going to shoot at you, and either one of you, feel free to kind of just shoot it back at us, tip of the tongue. Much so.
Brooklyn or Seattle?
For what?
Just in general. So now you're based out of both of those cities.
Everywhere.
Okay.
What's the next beer... Is it Saison? Is it IPA? What's the next big thing? Ooh. Hazy IPAs.
What's the next big thing?
That's tough. Yeah.
Vapor
beer.
Yeah. I'll just start vaping. Yeah. It's going to be terpenes and vaporized alcohol.
Terpenes is definitely the next.
Stillwater Saison vape pens coming up.
Do you guys have any? We're talking about like kind of inspirations with Action Bronson and kind of the whole Pet Nats situation. But like, do you guys, are any of your beers inspired by weed or weed varietals?
Yeah, there's a whole series.
Yeah, we did a whole series.
I'm asking for Eddie. This was
it's kind of dubbed as the and the beer started like I think in like 2013 or something, and it was known as the Elevation Set.
Oh, nice.
So we are going to play off of weed, I try not to be like naff and just like and just cheesy about it. Like let's like be sophisticated.
Tangerine Haze is a good
one. Okay.
That's an amazing beer, right?
That beer.
G13 was the first one.
G13 was the first one, yeah.
Apparently another brewery thought that was a good idea too. Yeah.
They have a similar name, maybe?
Okay.
Yeah. I don't know.
And another cease and desist going out.
All right. 90s electronica, John Digweed or Cooter and Dorfmeister?
Diggers. Oh, no. Digweed helped break my career when I was DJing.
Really?
Yeah, he dropped a Brian Stillwater track on Radio 1.
Oh, fuck yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
It's cool.
I'll ask both. What is one ingredient that you, out of spite, refuse to use in one of your recipes, and what's one like graphic motif that you refuse to use?
Oh,
coriander. For all the gozas I've made, I've never used coriander in a beer.
Really?
Or a goes. Apparently, that's part of the main ingredients to a goza.
I heard gozas are the next big thing, though. I don't know. Who knows?
triangles.
Triangles.
No triangles.
Wow.
They're all over the 7,000. No, they're not.
No.
No.
For Stillwater, no triangles.
Okay.
No triangles.
First celebrity crush.
Ooh.
First.
Oh, that's hard. Shit, I don't know. Here's the girl that played in I Dream of Jeannie. She was really cute.
Oh, this.
Samantha.
Samantha. Yeah, I don't know who she, I forget her.
Maybe her. That goes far back, right?
Yeah. I think she recently passed. I don't. Is that a thing?
What? Really?
I don't know. Oh, I don't know.
I think.
Well,
I
was, you said first crush.
Yeah.
I think I like the love interest of the teenager boy in Great Outdoors. Can't tell you what her name was.
Great Outdoors. Is it the John Candy movie?
Yeah.
Nice.
All right, so we have Barbara Eden for IJ with Jeannie.
Pool scene, yeah. Like,
Eddie on the Google.
wait, the Great Outdoors. Yeah.
This is now in your search history.
It's oh, man.
What, your first crush was John Candy?
Mine was Paula.
Well, I like John Candy a lot. Don't get me wrong.
He's a pretty good guy.
Lucy Deakins?
Lucy Deakins, yeah.
Lucy Deakins.
Well, that's a great black and white photo of her. Here, maybe it's that one.
I think it was, you know, it's a vacation.
Very
movie.
Girl Next Door.
Oh, totally.
Very Girl Next Door.
Well, she wasn't in that movie. That was part of the deal.
So. Yeah.
I'm in awe. Sorry, I'm looking at it.
Oh, God. What are we going to...
Last food you microwaved.
Yeah.
This is...
Leftover Thai.
Ah, okay.
Yeah. We got this nice microwave in my new apartment that's got, like... It just like a sensor reheat. It's amazing.
What?
So it's like it has like a laser thermostat that like knows how
it cooks it exactly to
what. You don't have to move it or anything. It's I don't know how it does. It's amazing. Blew my mind.
My big thing is like whenever I move to a new place is having to like figure out the cook time for my White Castle cheeseburgers.
Oh yeah.
And every microwave is different, and I've eventually dialed into the exact second.
Are you keeping a chart? Because that's useful information.
You're not taking your microwave with you.
No, these are all... Because previously I was renting, but these are all... It's a process, and I respect this new technology.
Matthew, what are the statistics on the stats on your current microwave? In your house,
one
which
minute,
you're a homeowner.
1 minute, 10 seconds is the ideal cooking temp for a White Castle cheeseburger.
This should be a Wikipedia page, right?
But it's very specific to just my places, so... It's a sliding scale.
Depends on your wave.
Yeah.
How about the most memorable meal you've had in recent memory?
Dialogue, tasting menu at Dialogue, a new restaurant in Los Angeles.
I'm not going to talk. Brian can just, he had fancy meals for the last 6 months. anything in the Amazon that you had, like that, those pictures were amazing.
You were in the Amazon? Great.
What were you doing in Amazon?
Psychedelics and eating meat.
Ah, you did the ayahuasca thing, or
not this time? Yeah. I've done that a couple times. That's fantastic.
We'll talk after this.
Yeah.
And then this is a question we've kind of been asking recently. If you could, and this is for both of you, come up with a concept that's one particular type of music that's played, or one even like one band, even one style of food and.
Not one style of food. It's one dish.
Okay.
One
fuck me
musician, and one beverage.
That they go together?
No. It's, I mean, well, whatever, you, you, the hell you, make you feel like it.
Yeah. Gosh, is this where you have an ad playing right now while we all think about something? I love 80s city pop Japanese music. It's my like favorite thing.
Okay. One particular
guy, Tatsuro Yamashita.
Okay.
I think, but he's like, I mean, he's a Beatle essentially. Gosh. But then for food,
I don't know. I did
collaborate on this.
Robert Smith fried chicken sandwiches and champagne.
Nice.
No, that's great.
Yeah.
I like samosas a lot. So Japanese city pops and samosas, and then a Stillwater beer.
Oh, okay. Man, breaking rules. Yeah. I like it.
Yeah, Indian curry. That'd be,
right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Although we do have Bad Saint tonight, and
oh
it's
yes,
hard
okay,
to
let's quickly talk about
Bad Saint. Like
the collaboration is already sold out, but you are doing a collaboration dinner tonight with at Bad Saint. So Filipino food with Stillwater beers. What are you expecting, or how
whatever
is it?
Tom wants to serve us, I will take. Like we had after Snallygaster last year, we went with Jennings from Pendruid and just had a meal to end all meals, and you know, a day of being outside drinking beer,
yeah,
and being like home style Filipino food is just like it's perfect.
I would have quoted that as probably my most memorable meal, but unfortunately I didn't remember it that much. It was after Snallygaster. I just remember immensely enjoying it.
As I hugged everyone on the way out, I was like, We're doing something special. We're doing it. So this is the culmination of that. Yeah.
And then afterwards, room 11,
we'll destroy room 11.
Stillwater cocktails. Is that done regularly? Do people make cocktails from your beers? And what do you expect? I assume you guys don't give a shit.
Well, we try and push it. We love that.
Yeah, we're all about breaking rules. Beer is... It's fun. It's a fun beverage.
Well, isn't there Insetto Capital Line based drink on the menu? I think somebody mentioned that.
That might be one of them.
Yeah.
There is the Insetto sour beer with Capital Line vermouth.
Is it the rosé? Maybe. I don't know. It feels like that would be the perfect.
Yeah. We'll see.
That sounds good.
No, I remember keep we used an eye to. On. We'll post we used to sell
if menu. Not, it is now.
All right.
There is one that involves banana and miso.
What?
Ooh. I think.
What?
So excited.
Letting the cat out of the bag at the moment.
And samosas. I don't know.
And samosas as the garnish.
I will run down the street to the new Indian spot, get some samosas.
Dude.
Okay. I put this together at the last second. We are going to play a little bit of a Mary Fuck Kill.
Fuck. Mary. Kill.
I always do it in the wrong order. All right. We've done this before with wines, so I'm going to name three. I'm going to describe three celebrity beers. Sure. Fuck, marry, kill them, and then I'll tell you which ones they belong to. All right. A full-bodied, delicious pale ale with a unique toasted malt signature and a refreshing hoppy finish. That's number one. Number two, an easy-drinking American blonde ale brewed with Band's hometown of... Oh, the band's hometown in Charleston, South Carolina. That's a little clue. With Carolina gold rice and hints of lemongrass. And the third one is a barrel-aged palate saver, favorite amongst our fans since its inception in 2013. Pecans, wheat, flaked rye, bourbon-soaked barrels provide this whopping, complex superhero version of an imperial stout.
I prefer unflaked rye. Putting that out there.
All right, so yeah, you have a full-bodied pale ale, American blonde ale, and a superhero stout. Version of an imperial stout.
I'm not really into any of them.
I'm not sure
you'd be into any of these hard celebrities.
I would marry the pale ale just because that's, you know, sometimes you settle.
Yeah.
Right? So.
Okay, marry the pale ale. You just gotta fuck one of them.
The blonde.
The blonde? The American blonde?
Yeah.
Okay.
I'll fuck with an IPA if it's fresh.
Okay, and then we're killing the stout. All right, so the pale ale that you're marrying is the Hops by Hansen.
Yeah. Oh, I'm totally for that.
Yeah. This one I'm a little upset about. You're killing off the Imperial Stout, the Stone Farking Wheaton Woot Stout from Will Wheaton.
Oh, well, that's kind of, yeah. I mean, I'll give respect to those guys, but...
It's just... It's
a lot.
It's just sitting. Yeah, the description. Will come off
I'm not bringing War and Peace to my desert island, right? I'm getting.
I mean, yeah.
And then you're fucking Hootie's homegrown ale.
Hootie's.
By Hootie and Blowfish.
That's fine.
Yeah. Hootie.
I like his cover of Tom Waits' song, right? That's a good one.
Oh, I don't know that one.
Hope that I don't fall in love with you. It's a good one.
I'll have to check it out.
Yeah. Okay. MTV Unplugged, not on the CD.
Oh, shit. Okay, deep cuts. Gentlemen, thank you so much for joining us this week.
Thank you for having us.
Our listeners, you can revisit this week's episode or previous episodes on iTunes or wherever you grab podcasts, including the Spotify. Find us on all the social media as @ShiftDrinkDC. Don't forget to throw us a review on iTunes or give us a 1-star on Yelp. Only 1-star.
Only 1 stars.
1-star only.
Yeah. A special thank you to Jeffrey Lemereau for intro music and DJ RecTech for our hilarious sound effects. Thank you, Brian and Mike. Anything you want to plug or anything that's coming up that we should be on the lookout for?
Just the Adidas collaboration.
Adidas, we will put pressure on you. Let's get it done.
Yeah, reach out. We're listening.
Till next week, guys.
All right, thanks, guys.
Thank you.
Thanks for listening to this program on Full Service Radio, broadcasting and recording from the Line Hotel in Adams Morgan, Washington, D.C. Full Service Radio programming can be accessed live and archived on fullserviceradio.org. Our talk programming is available on most podcast apps like iTunes and Stitcher, and our DJ sets are available on mixcloud.com/fullserviceradio. Full Service Radio features over 30 weekly shows and over 50 local hosts covering every topic imaginable. If you want to be a guest or get involved, email us at info@fullserviceradio.org. Follow us on Twitter @FullServiceRDO, on Instagram and Facebook @FullServiceRadio. Thanks for listening.